So what is this a picture of? I'm going to need some help from you guys here this morning, okay? So what is this a picture of? A what? A turtle. Very good. You guys are doing well. This is a turtle. It might be a tortoise. I don't know, but it looks like a turtle to me. It's a tortoise. Okay. The whole illustration is gone. Get rid of it. Never mind. No. It's a tortoise. A tortoise on a fence post. So what? How did he get up there? Yeah. So what would you conclude about if you were walking along and you saw a turtle or a tortoise on a fence post? What would you think? You'd think a little farm boy put him there. Yes, that would be good. He's making a nest up there. That's one thought we could have. Not many of us, but some. What else would you think about if you saw a tortoise or a turtle on a fence post? So, he's just like lying up there. His little legs are going like this, and his head's going like that. He needs help. How many of you see this and think there is a problem here for this turtle or tortoise is in big trouble? How many of you think this tortoise or turtle is in big trouble? Raise your hand nice and tall. Nice and tall if you think he's in big trouble. Okay? How many of you think, wow, that is like the luckiest tortoise in the entire world. Look where he has been placed. Huh? He is like the luckiest tortoise in the world. Look where that turtle has been placed. How many of you think that? Raise your hand nice and tall. So we have a large majority of people that are looking at the picture thinking, wow, this is not good for the tortoise. He is in big trouble, right? But let's look at it from a different perspective. If you were a tortoise or a turtle, and your perspective for your entire life was grass, this far in front of your nose, and that's all you ever saw, ever. This was the extent of your capabilities of seeing your world around you, of experiencing anything but this. I mean, literally, they're walking through the grass like this, and all they see is literally inches, maybe feet in front of them, unless they're in a sandy spot. And all of a sudden, you get elevated, picked up, and placed on top of the post, in which he has an amazing view of what's going on around him. An incredible opportunity to see things that he would have never seen before, never experienced before. This could be an amazing reminder to each and every one of us that God has placed us by his will in places that we would never be able to achieve or accomplish on our own. Because there's no way a tortoise or a turtle can climb up a fence post, right? There's no way on his own he could ever have gotten there in any way, shape, or form. Sometimes I think we need to be reminded that God places us in positions, in places that we would never choose or able to get to on our own. By his will. Now, in the midst of saying that, I understand many of you who put your hands up saying, this is a dangerous place, this is a bad situation for the turtle, because the turtle can do absolutely nothing here, correct? He can't get himself off. He's pretty well stuck. He is at the mercy of whoever put him there, or someone else who might come along, or maybe a wind may come along and topple him over, and that doesn't sound like a very good alternative either, because it's a long ways down to the ground for a tortoise or a turtle. But there he is. Whether placed for a good thing or for a hard thing, there he is. It's kind of a perspective of looking at the glass half empty or half full. You see what I'm saying? And I think a large majority of us, if we're going by what we looked at this morning, a large majority of us are kind of looking at things as a glass half empty because they see all the problems that the turtle is facing rather than the opportunities that are set before him at this very moment. And see, God does that. He elevates us to places that we don't deserve. As a matter of fact, I'm elevated. You're elevated to places that we don't deserve. And even in the midst of being elevated, there are times that we're thinking, wow, I don't know if this is such a great thing. The passage I want to look at this morning is going to be introduced to you through a book. I rarely do this. As a matter of fact, I don't know that I've ever done this, but this is so apropos, it has to be done. I had a memory, and that was very strange. I know Andrew was like, wow, that's weird, you had a memory. And I know Kathy, she's like, you never have a memory. What's going on here? But I remember reading this book a long, long time ago, and there's a scene in it that I was thinking about. And when I asked Andrew about it in the office, she's like, no, it's not that, it's this. And we went back and forth about it. So I thought, you know what, I'm going to go find the book. And I'm going to put a plug in here real quick, because I was able to go back to our own little library. A lot of people don't know that we have a little Christian library right back behind the sound booth. We have our own little library back there that is absolutely amazing. Deb takes care of this. She brings books in. She takes books out. She allows people to check them out, movies, all kinds of different things. I was able to go back there and find the exact book that I was looking for within literally 30 seconds, wasn't it? It was very quick. And the book is called The Hiding Place, and it's by Cora Ten Boom. Do you guys know the story of Cora Ten Boom? Cora Ten Boom and her, what? Thank you. Corrington Boom. Okay, so you call her what you want, I'll call her what I want. All right, so Cora Ten Boom was one of two daughters of a gentleman who lived, I can't remember now where, overseas during World War II. They were a family that were not Jewish, but they were taking Holland, thank you. Lived in Holland. Details aren't real important here. Lived in Holland. They were not Jews, but they were people who were trying to protect Jews during the time that Hitler was trying to condemn them and gather them up. And so because they were trying to protect them and help them, they too were rounded up and they were put in concentration camps. The two sisters, Betsy and Corey, they were actually allowed to be together through much of their concentration camp time, okay? And one of the places that they went near the end of this book, and I don't know why this made an impression on me, but it did, why I remember this, they went to a new camp. It was called, let's see if I can find it here, in Ravensbrück. And they'd been moved from concentration camp to concentration camp, a horrible experience every time they moved, it went from bad to worse to horrible to absolutely excruciating. And here they're in Ravensbrück, one of the last places, and it says they moved to the permanent quarters, came the second week in October. We were marched 10 abreast along a wide cinder avenue and then to a narrow street of barracks. Several times the column halted while numbers were read out. Names were never used at Ravensbrück. At last, Betsy and mine were called. Prisoner 66729, prisoner 66730, we stepped out of line with a dozen or so other and stared at the long gray front of barracks 28. Half of its windows seemed to have been broken and replaced with rags. A door in the center led us into a large room where 200 or more women bent over knitting needles. On tables between them were piles of woolen socks in army gray. On either side of the doors, opened into two still larger rooms, by far the largest dormitories we had yet seen, Betsy and I followed a prisoner guide through the door at the right. Because of the broken windows, the vast room was in semi-twilight. Our noses told us first that the place was filthy. Somewhere, plumbing had backed up, and the bedding was soiled and rancid. Then our eyes adjusted to the gloom, and we saw that there was no individual beds at all, but great square piers stacked three high and wedged side by side and end to end with only occasional narrow aisles slicing through. We followed our guide single file, the aisle was not wide enough for two, fighting back the claustrophobia of these platforms rising everywhere above us. The tremendous room was nearly empty of people. They must have been out on various work crews. At last, she pointed to a second tier in the center of the large block. To reach it, we had to stand on the bottom level and haul ourselves up, then crawl across three other straw-covered platforms to reach the one that we would share with how many we did not know. The deck above was too close to let us sit up. We lay back, struggling against the nausea that swept over us from the reeking straw. We could hear the women who had arrived with us finding their places. Suddenly, I sat up, striking my head on the cross slats above. Something had pinched my leg. Fleas, I cried. Betsy, the place is crawling, swarming with them. We scrambled across the intervening platforms, heads low to avoid another bump on the head, dropped down to the aisle, and edged our way to a patch of light. Here another one, I wailed. Betsy, how can we live in such a place? Show us. It was said so matter-of-factly, it took me a second to realize she was praying. More and more the distinction between prayer and the rest of life seemed to be vanishing for Betsy. Corey, she said, he's given us the answer. Before we asked, he always does. In the Bible this morning, where was it that we read again? What was that part? I glanced down the long dim aisle to make sure that no guard was in sight. Then I drew the Bible from its pouch. It was in 1 Thessalonians, I said. We're on the third complete reading of the New Testament since leaving the other camp. In the feeble light, I turned the pages. Here it is. Comfort the frightened. Help the weak. Be patient with everyone. See that none of you repays evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to all. It seems written expressly for Ravensbrook. Go on, said Betsy. That wasn't all. Oh, yes. To one another and to all. Rejoice always, pray constantly, and give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. That's it, Corey. That's his answer. Give thanks in all circumstances. That's what we can do. We can start right now to thank God for every single thing about this new barracks. I stared at her. Then around me at the darkness, the foul-aired room, such as, I said, such as being assigned here together. I bit my lip. Oh, yes, Lord, thank you. Such as what you're holding in your hands. And I looked down at the Bible. Yes, Lord, thank you, dear God, that there was no inspection that way when we entered in here. Thank you for all the women here in this room who will meet you in these pages. Yes, said Betsy. Thank you for the very crowding in here. Since we're packed in so close, so many more will hear the word of God. She looked at me expectantly. Corey, she prodded. All right, thank you for the jammed, crammed, stuffed, packed, suffocating crowds. Thank you. Thank you, Betsy went on serenely. For the fleas and for the fleas, this was too much. Betsy, there is no way even God can make me grateful for fleas. Give thanks in all circumstances, she quoted. It doesn't say in pleasant circumstances. Fleas are part of this place where God has put us. I remember reading that a long, long time ago. It reminds me of the verse that we're looking at this morning because she quoted it very simply. We've been looking at the will of God for our lives. And so many times people are looking for the will of God and they're thinking this is going to be the most amazing thing because God is going to just continually bring new blessings. He's going to continually put me on the post so I can see all the wonderful things that are around me. He's going to continue to elevate me in places that are going to be fantastic and good. And it might be a little scary and it might be a little nerve-wracking, but it's always going to be so fantastic. But you have to understand what the will of God is for our lives. You remember, first of all, God's will for our life is that we be saved. He wants that more than anything else. He desires that we come into a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. Number two, his desire, his will for our life is that we would be sanctified, that we would be made more closely in the image of God. The one that we don't like the most is the one that when it says God's will for us is that we might suffer. And we don't like to hear that, but truly, God does allow suffering to come into our life for a very good reason, to draw us closer to Him. Nobody wants to talk about that in the church anymore. But here in 1 Thessalonians, this is what God's will is. Whew. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. It says, be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Let me say it again. Be joyful when? Always. Pray when? Continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. First of all, I want you to recognize when it says, give thanks to God in, listen to me now, in all circumstances. He does not say, give thanks to God for, there's a big difference. He doesn't say, give thanks to God for all circumstances, because some of the circumstances we find ourselves in stink, are horrible, are awful. But he says, give thanks in all circumstances, because every circumstance that we find ourselves in, there's an opportunity, just like we read in the book, there's an opportunity in the most horrific circumstances to find God's will, to find God's way, to find God's blessing in our life. In the midst of every situation, it's possible. But how many of us, and I think I already know the answer because I saw your hands, how many of you identified more with Corey Ten Boom when she walked into the barracks? No one wants to raise their hand anymore, do we? Oh, no, I'm going to keep my hand down here. I'm going to go for Betsy. Everyone, most of us, relate to Corey. It stinks. The straw is rancid. It smells. It's overcrowded. I'm feeling claustrophobic. This is awful. I cannot believe we went from bad to worse and now from worse to absolutely horrendous. I can't believe that God is continually taking us all these places. And now all these fleas, there is no way it could get, don't say ever that, there's no way it can get worse than this. Most of us are in that position in most of the circumstances we find ourselves in. Oh Lord, why me? Very few identify with Betsy. Giving thanks in all circumstances. Looking for the ways that God has been blessing them. It's interesting in the book, the only reason they have that little Bible to read is because God allowed them to pass by the searches by His hand and not get searched that day. And they recognized it. So how is it that we can give thanks, pray continually, and be joyful always? Why? Why would God make us such a crazy demand of each and every one of us? Because that's what it was. I know Nathan preached last week on the commands, that each one of these are an imperative. And these are the same way. These are imperatives that God says. He says, I want you to be joyful always. I want you to pray continually. I want you to give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. They're commands. Why would God create such amazing, harsh, hard commands to do these things as Christians? Because there are benefits and blessings. There are benefits and blessings from praising God, for being thankful. If you have your Bibles, I'd really appreciate it if you turn to Psalms chapter 50. With me. Psalm chapter 50. I won't read the whole psalm. I'm going to jump right into the good stuff. How's that? I'll let you read Psalm 50 later on this afternoon. Psalm 50, I'm going to start at verse 14. Listen to what this says. Psalm 50, verse 14 says, sacrifice thanks offerings to God. Did you hear that? Sacrifice thanks offerings to God. Fulfill your vows to the Most High and call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you and will honor you. Let me read that to you again. Sacrifice thanks offerings. That means give praise to God. Thank Him. Give thanks offerings to God. Fulfill your vows to the Most High. Do what He says. Do what you promised to do. And call upon me in the day of trouble. What is calling upon God in times of trouble? What's that usually look like? It's usually, yeah, that's usually when everyone prays. And when we get in trouble, then all of a sudden we remember, oh, yeah, I'm supposed to pray. He says, call upon me in your time of trouble. And I will deliver you, and you will honor me. Now, that sounds pretty good right there in all of itself, right? But now skip right to the very end of Psalms. Verse 25, not the end of Psalms, this psalm. Verse 25. Listen to what it says. He who sacrifices thanks offerings honors me. Listen to what it says. And he prepares the way so that I may show him the salvation of my God. Did you catch it? He who sacrifices thanks, he who gives thanks in all circumstances, he who gives thanks in all circumstances prepares the way so that I may show him the salvation of my God. You see, there's a correlation between giving thanks always in every situation and every circumstance. There's a correlation between turning our eyes to God and giving thanks to Him in every and all circumstances, because giving thanks to Him allows us to take our, listen to me because I feel like some of you are sleeping on me, it allows us to take our eyes off of ourselves and our circumstances and put them on God, and that helps prepare our hearts and our minds to see what God is about to do, to see how He's preparing us for His will in our life. So many times I think we get into hard situations, into bad circumstances, and we put our eyes on the circumstance. We start looking at all the problems. We start looking at the impossibilities of all the things that are going on, and we forget there's a God who is in control. There is a God who placed the turtle on top of the post, and there's a reason that you're there. There's a reason that He's placed you there. There's a reason that He's blessed you to elevate you to that high place. There's a reason that He placed you there as a test for your life. There's a reason, and if we continue to give Him that thankfulness, that offer of praise, it prepares our hearts for the next step in the process that He's going to take us through. He's not going to leave us on the post forever. He's getting us ready for the next adventure. He may be placing us up there so that we can see the horizon, so that we know what's coming, and so that we'll have the energy and the desire to keep going. You might be sitting up there thinking, oh, my legs don't work, my head don't work, my tail don't work, I can't move, I'm stuck. But that might be the very place that God needs you to be, so that you can see where He's about to prepare for you, so that you will have the energy and the desire and the faith that there's something better ahead. In the midst of the greatest struggles, He is still there. He's wanting us to prepare. He's wanting us to get ready. And you know what? Some of you turtles have been elevated for a reason. Some of you may not realize it, but being up on that fence post is the greatest blessing. Maybe He has blessed you with an amazing family. An amazing family for some reason. Maybe He's blessed you with an amazing job. Maybe He's blessed you with an amazing bank account. Maybe he's blessed you with amazing health that you can go and do anything that you want because you've got a healthy body. Praise God, we forget about that, don't we? Once we get sick, once we get hurt, then we start, whew. Stop smiling at me. My wife's back there grinning from ear to ear. You want to hear a quick story? Have you noticed I'm kind of hobbling? Well, I had a little accident yesterday. Yeah. See, my wife is smiling and my sister's laughing. What does that tell you? So, had a little accident yesterday. You know, all the horse riding I've been doing, going after these wild cattle and roping cattle and doing all this stuff, I mean, running across uneven, unfamiliar ground that I don't know in any way, shape, or form, roping cows, dallying them off, throwing them on the ground, doing all this crazy stuff with all these crazy cattle for the last year and a half. All this nutty stuff. So yesterday, we woke up early, and Kathy is like, hey, I'd like to go for a trail. Let's go for a little ride. So we decided to go out for a little ride yesterday. And I'd lent my horse out to Chet for someone else to use. And so I was working on a new horse that we had gotten to see how she was going to be. And she wasn't very good. And she ended up flipping over on me yesterday. Not rolling over, flipping over on me yesterday. And I praise God. You know what? I got up. I was screaming. I was yelling because I thought I broke my leg. But I was thinking about my sermon. I was praising God. I was laughing about it. By the time I got back up to the barn, I was laughing about it. But I've got a little bit of a limp because from about here to about here is black on my leg right now. It flipped over, and the saddle horn, all the way to the horse, and everything landed right there on my leg, which I was very, very grateful for, because usually when a horse flips over, usually you catch a saddle horn in the chest, and it's lights out for good. So I was very grateful. I was very, you know, it was awesome. You know what? It's been really good, too, because it's made me slow down. This whole day, yesterday, I had all these plans, all these things that I thought I had to get done that was on my schedule. I just had the busiest day yesterday that I just had to get all these things done, had to go all these different places and do all this different stuff, and it was so important that I get all those things done. You realize what I'm saying? I mean, I had it scheduled out. I was almost a little freaked out that Kathy wanted to go riding yesterday morning because I had so much stuff I had to get done during that day. And guess what I got done? Everything God designed for me to get done. I sat on my chair, kept putting ice packs on my leg all day long, and I was blessed to see my family. He put me on the post, and I saw what was important. It's pretty cool. So God has a plan. He prepares it so that he can reveal his plan to us. And sometimes he has to slow us down so that we can see that. God has a plan. In Philippians chapter 4, take a look with me here. Philippians chapter 4. I'm just about done. Some of you are getting impatient. I know we got kids today, no children's church. The little piece of paper is already worn out. They've colored on every side of it. They're now looking into your purse for candy and snacks. If you have enough, share with the kid in front of you. Or the guy in front of you whose pain medication is now wearing off. This is what he says. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Listen to what it says, because we need to hear this. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. You see, that same three combination is right there when it says, in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Why? Why are those three things so important? Because if we do those things in the midst of our circumstances, whether good or bad, it says, he gives us this promise, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. You see, it's God's will. It's God's will that we live in peace in the world, that we live without fear, without that intrepidation that everyone else is experiencing in this world, because it's his will that we live in peace in our minds and in our hearts, because that is a witness that will stand out more than anything else in this world, because without Christ there is no peace. Without Christ there is no hope. And he's calling us. He says, this is my will for you. I want you to praise me. I want you to rejoice. I want you to give thanksgiving. I want you to come to me in prayer so that I might give you that peace in the midst of all circumstances, so that you might be my witness, that your faith may grow day by day in the midst of your affliction or in the midst of your joy. Draw closer to me. So, it's further down than I thought. So, Corey and Betsy, they're assigned to this new barracks. barracks that is way overcrowded. I can't remember, I couldn't find it again, but there was like five times as many women staying in these barracks than were it was designed to be. Five times as many. Within the barracks that they were sleeping in, it was made for two women, and there would be five and six women on a bed, covered with fleas. Completely crowded. When it was hot out, it was stifling in there. When it was cold out, when the wind was coming and the winter was going on, the people who were living by the windows, sleeping by the windows, were freezing to death, and they were trying to close the windows. But the people who were in the middle of the room furthest away from the windows were screaming, "Don't block the windows, we're suffocating to death." And so there was a constant strife in the midst of that barracks all the time. But when Corey and Betsy came into that barracks, they started doing something really amazing. They started reading the gift that God gave to them, the Word of God. They started singing hymns of praise. They started quoting Scripture and reading Scripture out loud. And the life and the heart of that barracks, the mind and the hearts of that barrack started to change. It says, one evening, I got back to the barracks late from wood gathering outside the walls. A light snow lay on the ground, and it was hard to find the sticks and twigs with which to keep the small stove going. Betsy was waiting for me, as always, so that we could go and wait for the food line together. Her eyes were twinkling. "You're looking extraordinarily pleased with yourself," I told her. "You know, we've never understood why we had so much freedom in the big room." Well, I found out. That afternoon, she said, there had been confusion in the knitting line, in the knitting group, about sock sizes, and they asked the supervisor to come and settle in. But she wouldn't settle it. But she wouldn't. She wouldn't step through the door, and neither would the guards. And you know why? Betsy could not keep the triumph from her voice. "Because of the fleas!" That's what she said. "That place is crawling with fleas." My mind rushed back to our first hour in this place, and I remember Betsy's bowed head, remembered her thanks to God for creatures I could see no use for. But because of those fleas, the Word of God was read without hindrance. Because of those fleas, the Word of God was sung with great joy. Because of those fleas, lives were changed because they lived uninterrupted lives in the heart of Christ. Jesus commands us, rejoice, give thanks, and pray in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. I don't know where you're at today. I can't even guess. I know you're at Walnut Community Bible Church. But I don't know, when you saw the picture of the turtle, were you like, "Oh, that poor little turtle, he is just in the worst condition. Horrible." And maybe you're like that turtle right now, and that's why you see him that way, because you're like in the worst condition right now. You don't see how it could get any worse. You know what God calls you to do? You know what his will for you is? To give thanks, to rejoice, and to pray. Maybe you saw the turtle and you thought, "Man, I feel just like that turtle. I am on top of the world. I'm in places that I could never be on my own, and God has placed me here. Thank you, Lord." Guess what? You need to rejoice, you need to give thanks, and you need to pray, because God is getting ready to do something even more miraculous in your life. And it might be taking you off the post. Where do you need to do? Where do you need to go? This morning I encourage you to fall into God's will. Rejoice, give thanks, and pray, for he is worthy. Amen? All right, I'm done. There we go. You got to have a little story read to you. Got to hear about my wonderful misfortunes yesterday. Got to hear the Word of God, and now it's all up to you. Today, when you leave these rooms, and we don't have breakouts today, so we encourage you to go back, grab a cup of coffee, grab a donut or whatever's back there for snacks, stick around and fellowship, have a great time, but encourage one another with these words. If you see someone who is down, Put your arm around them. Give them a prayer. If you see someone who's up, rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. Give and share your lives together. Amen? Let's stand and sing a hymn of invitation.